Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, is Richie here yet? No, but all right, he was here. Ah, Doc is here, look at that. So we can reintroduce the new perek. Give it to us, Doc. Not to be confused with Kippa. Okay. So we start a new perek discussing over here. Not derivatives, but rather the definitions of the particular species. And as usual, the transition from the previous perek was actually a transitional point in which, because of the particular situations of time or place, it was the same species, but it's possible to be inclusive with the sadeh or to limit it to gina. And from there, we move on to see what's included bichlal in the statement. So, our Mishnah begins with Hanoder Menayerek Mutar Bediluin. So, somebody asers vegetable on himself. Now, this is a terrible thing, as you know, because a pumpkin once walked into a restaurant and asked to be fed. And they said, "We don't serve vegetables here," which is... which is exactly against the Mishnah, right? So we need to understand what's the meaning. I do this to my kid that I call pumpkin all the time. Anyway, so the Shaila is, how are we defining Yorek? Obviously, I mean, it's not a botanical definition that we're using over here. So there's two basic approaches. There's the approach of the Rush. When I say basically, I mean there's others obviously that agree with the two, but the main protagonists over here, the Rush and the Ran. So the Rush understands that the issue is the question of whether it's eaten raw. So people in those days used the term yarek, which does not mean vegetables. So get that out of your head. It means yarek. So whatever yarek meant. So if yarek means something that is eaten raw, so then it's rather difficult to eat pumpkins raw. The Ran's approach is that the point over here is that things that are not the actual greens, the leaves, but they are fruit of the plant, like tomatoes or like pumpkins. So those are not included in Yerek. They are pri ha'adama, but they are not Yerakot. So therefore, if somebody would be answering himself on a Yerek, he would be allowed to eat pumpkins. Rabbi Akiva says you're us. So now the Tanakhama, and we're going to see who the Tanakhama is later on today. So the Tanakhama, what's going on, Alon? Don't tell me you're bored. Okay, now, I don't know. You know, let's go, man. Yeah, there we go. Amazing. Any Korean or Japanese would run the other direction. There we are. So Omer Lala Rabbi Akiva. Hello, Omer Adam L'Shlucho Kach L'Yerek. How can you say that a pumpkin is a yerek? If I ask you, go to the store and buy me yerek, and you find in the store only pumpkins, won't you call me up and say, listen, I couldn't find any yerek, but I found pumpkins? You wouldn't go and buy a pumpkin for me, right? So Adam Omer L'Shulcho Kach L'Yerek, V'hu Omer Lo Matzati Ela D'Luin. Says Rabbi Kibo, that's the whole point. Would the guy call up and say, listen, there's no yerek, but they have washing machines for sale? Of course not. So the point is that the very thing that you're going to ask about means that you understand that the general term could very possibly include pumpkins. So you want to know whether the guy wants a pumpkin, even though you can't find what he might have intended you to find in the first place, but he would include the loin. So therefore, that's my whole point. Maybe he's going to tell them, Lo matzati ala kitnias. He's not going to say, I only found chumus. Elosha deluin bechlau yerek. That's the whole issue. Deluin aren't part of the general term yerek, and kitnit are not included in yerek. He would, however, be osir befula mitzri lach, umutar be avesh. This is a very interesting thing. I don't know why they don't sell full hamitzri in America. I've never seen it. It's the weirdest thing. So I don't know. Do they sell it in South Africa? I don't know whether full is full. Over here, Nerd Soul, full is a very popular dish. But the idea is that once it actually is fully mature, then it is not called a yerek. It can't be eaten without a heck of a lot of boiling. But it is, while it's still immature, some learned is considered to be yerek because people eat the pods. And pods are actually very good. A lot of legumes, people will eat the pods. Peas, people eat the peas in the pod. Over here with the fula mitzri. So that is a green, and that would be a yerek. Another mina yerek. Now, it's the Gemara. It doesn't make sense what Rabbi Akiva says. Because even if a guy would ask, the neder, the word that's used in the neder, if we're trying to expand language to include what the person may intend, you can only do that if the language is usable to include that thing. But yerek is not expandable to include, again, depending on what your pshat is, to include things that can't be eaten raw, or, according to the Ran, to include those things which are actually meant to be the fruit. And these are fruiting bodies. They're not the actual leaves. So, therefore, it doesn't make sense, because if what you're trying to do is assert that a word means something, and the proof of the pudding is, says Rabbi Akiva, that a person will call you up to ask you whether you meant that. It's not that the word meant that, because yerek cannot mean fruit. So explain to me how Rabbi Akiva's logic would work over here. Now, this is a very important point, because we're going to see that there are two different kinds of things that Rabbi Akiva is saying. Later on, the Gemara is going to be bringing a case where somebody says meat, and the question is, does meat include liver? Is that the same as this case? No, it's not. Because over there, the word itself, meat, could include liver. Over here, yerek, the Gemara is saying, the word cannot include fruit, or the word cannot include things that cannot be eaten raw. And therefore, we're going to have to explain that the only reason that Rabbi Akiva is applying his logic to this case is because it was expanded through an additional unnecessary word. And that's going to make a big difference in terms of how to understand the Gemara. So please keep that in mind. And the Gemara's kasha, therefore, is if Rabbi Akiva is utilizing this proof to give a broader definition to terminology, there is no way to expand the terminology. You could expand what the guy is thinking, but it's not what he said. And since it's not what he said, it would remain Dvarim Shebelev. And therefore, why would it be Usur? V'amin Yerek Nada. Omar Ula, well, the case is talking about where the guy said, Yarkei Kideira Alai. So in adding that extra word, Yarkei Kideira, why did he say that? He must be saying it because he's trying to expand the envelope over here, right? And because of that, we will include anything that a guy would have to call him up and say, did you mean to include also pumpkin? Excuse me. When you say the word Yarkei Kideira, to me, that is not a way to expand the word of what kind of yerek. It means to me that what you're trying to say is a yerek, a real yerek, in something that would be used for making things cooked in the pot better, you know, but it would still have to be included in the general sense of yerek, so that even though, what would those things be? I don't know, maybe like garlic, you know, you put garlic into the pot. So maybe that's what it means. It means yerek that you always use in a pot. So with condiments, but it doesn't mean the actual pumpkin that would be needed to be a whole different type of food. That doesn't make sense. Okay, fine. So he said not yerek hanecha b'kedera, he said yerek hamidbashel b'kedera. The vegetables that need to be cooked in the pot. And now that should include even perhaps a pumpkin. So Rabbi Akiva said yes, since he said that, and the shliach. So it's a combination of two issues over here. First of all, you expanded the meaning. And secondly, how do we define the expansion of the meaning that it should be generally incorporated? That we take a look at whether a shliach would need to call you and ask whether you should buy pumpkin. Masha Inkin, in the other case, where we're talking about the meat and the liver, we did not need any expansion. You'll soon see why that's important. So the machlokas over here is, the Rabbanan hold, if you've got to call the guy back to find out if that's what he meant, then that is not included in his statement of the species. Whereas Rabbi Akiva Savar, on the contrary, if the shliach would feel the need to call up and find out whether this was incorporated, then that's exactly the reason why we should include it in the neder. Omer Abayeva, but hold on a minute. What Rabbi Akiva is saying is that we think it might be included. You're not going to be chayav malchus, because, I mean, the bottom line is the shliach has to call up and find out. So if the shliach has to call up and find out, would that not mean that it isn't clear that this is what the person meant? So if it isn't clear, then you can't be mechayev in malchus. There's even some mefarshim that understand that to be saying that in this case, we're talking about something which is an issur d'rabbanan. It wouldn't be even an issur d'oraisa because it really isn't included. It's just merumas. Fine. And we'll see in a minute why this is not a fundamental difference in what Rabbi Akiva is saying. And that's from the Mishnah in Me'ilah. Now, we've had this Mishnah many times. And remember that the way Me'ilah works is that because we have a gzerah shava of chet, it says slotisul of chet, the chet that we have by truma, where we have gam atem, to teach me atem, and gam atem is marba a shliach. So in the same way that you could use a shliach for truma, you can surprisingly use a shliach for Me'ilah. But Me'ilah is a chet. Exactly. But normally, don't we say, Ein shliach l'dvar avera? We do. But over here, the Torah specifically said, you can do Me'ilah with a shliach. So what would that mean? That would mean that if I send a shliach with money that's hegdash, he goes to the store and he purchases something with money that's hegdash, he's going to have to bring the carbon Me'ilah, not me. But only if he didn't do what I told him to do. But suppose he does precisely what I told him to do. Then he's a shliach. Then he's me. Then I'm the one who's going to be Me'ilah. You see? But if it wouldn't be for the fact that he's shliach l'dvar aver in this case, it would always be him, because he cannot be acting on my behalf to do an avera. But for Me'ilah, he can. Now, what that means is that he has to be doing precisely what I told him to do. Here's where we get into the question. What does precisely what I told him to do mean? So the Mishnah there uses an example of a shliach that was told to buy meat. And he goes and he uses the money of hektish to buy liver. He knows the Rebbe likes liver for Shabbos, so he went ahead and he bought liver. So now the question is, would he be mail in buying liver or not? Is it the balabayit who would be mail, or would it be he that's mail? So let's take a look at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah over there says that in the event that the shliach is a shlichus balabayit mal, that's because he is shlichus l'dvar avera. Everybody agrees to this. Nobody argues on that. It's a basic drasha. Lo asa shlichuto. So then he's acting on his own das. He's acting on his own das. Then the shliach did the me'ilah. Now, the case over there was where he said, give meat to my guests, or go buy meat, and it's the same idea, give meat to my guests, and instead he gives them liver, right? Or he says, give them liver, and he gives them meat. So it says over there, the shliach was mail, because that's not what he was told to do, and if that was hegdash stuff, so then it's his problem. But according to Rabbi Akiva, it should not be his problem, because if you send somebody to the store for meat, and you don't find steak, you're going to ask, there isn't any meat, but there's liver, and that would be included. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it should be included in the general terms of what the Balabayit said. That's the essence of what the Gemara is about to ask. The Gemara, first, it assumes you know the Mishnah. That's why I said it to you in this way. Okay, so we said over there, Mantana. So who would be the Mandiomer of that Mishnah? And Rav Chisda said, it can't be Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because the Mishnah gives a case. The case is, Ketzad, Amarlo, if the Balabayit says to the Shliach, in this case is his butler, so he says, go and give meat to the guests. And instead he goes and he gives them liver. where he says to the butler, give them liver, and instead, Natan lehem basar, the din is that the butler did it. My. In the living room. So he was the one that was male in this case. And he even gave mustard. So it was both of them that did it. Now, in this case, that would mean that it's not like Rabbi Akiva. Because according to Rabbi Akiva said that kol milta de mimla chala shliach. Shoot, I forgot to record the MP3. Okay. Anything that the person would have to call back and find out about, that's considered to be part of the same species. Minehu. So then that means he was doing the correct thing. You said meat. And if you had asked him to purchase meat, he would have called back and said there's liver. So then that means it's included in your statement. So then why should the shliach be male? He's not acting on his own das. He's doing his instructions. Limo balabayit. What are you talking about? There's a fundamental difference here between the case of the neder and the case of the me'ilah, for God's sake. Don't you understand? What's the difference? First of all, the obvious question is, didn't we just say beferish before that according to Abaye, that the idea is that specifically it's not going to be a chiddush, an iba bayetavo, and therefore it's only a non-malkus, it's according to some of the Rabbanan. Over here we're talking about a korban me'ila, and that's the arisa, so what's the kasha? That's what I mentioned to you before. There's no malkus because we're not defining the word yarek over there. We're defining some extra indication that he wants to expand the envelope of yarek because he said, dimit basho bekedera. That's a completely different issue, dimit basho bekedera, correct? But over here, the term basar itself is the issue. And therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, it would include, Rabbi Akiva, it would include kavet. There you go. So according to that, there's absolutely no way to avoid the unfortunate conclusion. You're saying the Mishnah's not like Rabbi Akiva. And to this, Abaye answers, there's no connection whatsoever between the two cases. Because to do your shlichut, part of your shlichut is to make sure you're doing a shlichut. So if the Baal HaBayit told you, give them meat, so then you have to ask, would it be okay if I give them liver? That's what he assumes you're going to do. That's part of the understanding between the sender and the shliach, isn't it? Mashen came by the neder. We're talking about the guy's intent in terms of how he would be using a word. And therefore, if the word would be inclusive in that, if he didn't want it to include that, so then he could have said so. But the word that he used included liver. And therefore, in this case, it's totally different. Had you made a neder from basar, of course it would have included liver. But telling somebody to give basar, he has to ask you, sir, did you mean I could give liver, or did you mean I have to restrict it to meat? That is a totally different idea. Therefore, afilu temi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is meida that you have to ask if you are a shliach. That's part of your job. And tzorich limluche. They said this over in front of Rava, and Rava said, for sure, what Abaye said is perfect. Not for no reason do they call him Nachmeni, since this was Rava bar Nachmeni, right? he was raised basically. In the Nachmeni's house, close to Rava. So you would expect that he would say the right thing. And he did, in fact. Anyway, so now we're saying that the Mishnah in Me'ilah is not the Mishnah, not the Tana of the Mishnah here. See, like this, I would have said, okay, there's obviously a Tana that consistently argues on Rabbi Akiva. Now there isn't, because that Mishnah fits perfectly well with Rabbi Akiva in Me'ilah. So that means we have an unusual situation over here in which someone is arguing with Rabbi Akiva, and I don't see any other place where he comes up. So who is the mysterious anti-Rabbi Akiva Shita in the Dorim? That's Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the Tanya. Hanoder min ha-basar. So somebody says he's not going to eat meat. he is usher in any type of meat whatsoever. It doesn't matter whether it's from a behemoth, whether it's a chaya, it could be venison, could be large animals, small animals, lamb chops, steaks. Not only that, he isn't even allowed to eat the type of things that many people don't eat, which would be brain, the feet, the kana. The kana includes the lungs and the trachea and the kaved, liver, heart, and even chicken. My gosh. So he would be also in the broadest description of meat, but he would be allowed to eat fish and grasshoppers, kosher grasshoppers. So he would be allowed to eat them. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, no. He's only usher on meat. True. Any kind of meat. Venison, lamb chops, steaks. Anybody getting hungry? But when you hear the last part, you don't get hungry. He's mutter, barosh, baraglayim, bekaneh, bekaved, ubalev, right? And even chicken. And for sure, basar, dagim, vechagavim. And in fact, my personal opinion is that kravayim lav basar. And that anybody who eats them is not human. V'ochleim lav bar inish. He's not even human. What is that supposed to mean? So, actually, the Bach puts in Lamai Hilchas. I mean, this is just a comment about personal tastes. No, of course, Rav Shimon Gamliel is trying to tell you something is a halacha, and that is that somebody who would be ochleim kibasar le'inyan zvine lav bar inish. So basically, he was told that there's some weirdos in Borough Park that they actually go and pay for kishka what they would pay for steak, if not more. Those are not human beings, says Rav Shimon Gamliel. So this basically gives you an etza in terms of pricing when it comes to kishka and steak. Don't be taken in. Okay. Anyway, so that's what he was referring to. Now, explain to me. I see you guys are about to depart. Or have you already arrived? You're about to depart. Have a good trip. You're late. You're supposed to leave at 2 a.m., you bum. Don't think I don't know what's going on. Okay. So, why is it that the Tanakhama says that when it comes to chicken, you're also on chicken? Now, that seems to be like Rabbi Akiva, right? Because even though you asked the guy to go buy you meat, if you didn't find any meat, you would call up and you would say, I couldn't find any meat. You want me to pick up some chicken, right? But that would be true about fish, too. If you say, listen, I couldn't find anything. I couldn't find anything but fish. I mean, that's all they got in the store today. Should I buy fish? Wouldn't he ask that? I mean, Ovid Shlich Adilo Meshkach Bisra Mimlach Ale, the Omar, he would say to him, if I don't find basar, should I bring fish or not? And therefore, it should be usher. If you're going like Rabbi Akiva, I don't quite understand. Omar Abaya, we're talking about over here that we have a contextual issue. Take a look at this. The Rebbe was so insulted about the kishka that he actually disappeared from the screen. So in this case, that's talking about that this guy was giving dam on this day. So he was making a blood donation. Actually, in those days, it was a hakaza to make you feel better. So they had hakazat dam, and you don't eat fish when you're making dam. Eat something good, like steak. But wait a minute. If you don't eat fish, you don't eat chicken. Who would eat chicken on a day? I mean, you're not supposed to eat chicken because Shmuel says that eating anything that's foul on a day that you're mesuchar means that you had a bloodletting, mesuchar actually means from the katef. From the shoulders, if you had, this is what people used to do in the barber shops. Remember, that's why they've got those red and white poles. You know that? No, seriously, this is not. These guys are laughing. This is not Sesame Street. This is the truth. So the barbers used to be the ones who were misacher, right? Bunkers. Okay, so because of that, they still have the red and white pole. And anybody who eats bird meat. Bisur the tzafra, his heart is going to go and it's going to start beating so quickly, it's like a bird's heart. So he's going to have palpitations of the heart, which means that he certainly is not going to eat chicken. V'tanya, ein mekizin, you do not go to have a hakazah, not based on having fish in your house or chicken in your house, or for that matter, vorscht in your house. Any kind of salted meat is not acceptable. V'tanya, somebody who is mekizdam should not eat milk, cheese, eggs, or shachlayim. Now, here our shachlayim come to haunt us again because we never really know what shachlayim is. We know it's some type of cress, but those of you who have seen lawns covered with cress will know what this is, right? It's like, wait a minute. A picture. Yeah. Uh-huh. Here we go. I forgot. I sent someone a picture of cress. Yes, indeed. So that's the most, there's about 100 pictures of this, but this is the one that you're going to actually make out well enough to notice that you've seen this growing wild. Okay, anyway, so don't eat that, and don't eat ofot, no chicken, and no delicatessen, no basar maliach. So how come now you're including chicken? I thought the chicken is not good for you. Well, ofot are different. Why? Because ofot aren't fundamentally prohibited. They're just prohibited the way they're usually prepared, which is roast chicken or barbecue chicken. But if you boil the chicken, oy vah voy, boil chicken is okay. That's all right for Easter. It's not going to hurt you. Or Abaya says, look, you don't have to get into such problematic issues. You could simply say the contextual problem over here is that the guy had an eye infection. And there, he's going to be careful not to eat fish. So it's going to kaiven le'ene, the dog him koshim le'naim, masha'en kein, chicken is fine. And that would explain the difference between chicken and fish.
Rebbe, isn't that fascinating? That ole ayin and like kedugim, the dugim damage eyes? You would have thought the opposite.
Why don't we wait? We have no patience. We have no patience. Iachi, on the contrary, he should be eating fish, says the Gemara. Because even reading the olive bays, Barnea, olive bays we're talking about earlier, the olive bays has nun, samach, ayin, but nun means fish, samach means to protect, the support, and ayin means eyes, which all adds up to telling you fish are good for eye infections. There you go. That's easy. Even Doc would know that. It's just olive base. So anyway, that would mean that fish is good for you. And why are we saying that fish is bad for you? No. That's talking about sof uchla. That's talking about where the infection's already gone. Now there's just some lingering inflammation. So fish will help that, but they're not good for your eyes while the infection's going on. Now there's actually machlokas somewhere just the opposite, that that's when it becomes bad for the eyes. Okay, which means you might want to avoid fish one way or the other if you've got an eye infection. All right, excellent, Rabotzai. That was a very fishy kind of daf, but it was fun.